To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have Carol, Tammy, Hi, and Cody.
Let it cool a little bit. Yeah. Too hot? Said it was.
No.
Hold on. Thank you. Good.
Good morning, this is the Lord Press, the Lord Page, Driving Budget, Chairperson. So, application to now, the Chairperson.
Voluntold is a possibility.
I just walked in the door and you lay it on me.
I know you go out and do this.
I would have respected the client offer on the paper.
I say
that. Oh, I unfortunately a second. See any further nominations? All those in favor of Larry, start to say aye. Start aye. Opposed?
Hey, Harry. Go slower because we got people online. Don't forget.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So, Larry, there is a list of those who are here. Do you want to call the roll?
Here.
Tammy,
hi. Here. Here.
Ray.
Carol Harlan.
Here.
Robin Murphy.
She's not listed on here yet.
Cody Height.
Present.
Myself, here. Leo, Rick,
here.
Mike,
here.
So the budget message I'll do, Harry. That's why we have to have numbers on our pages. I sure will. Thank you. So if everyone would take a look inside your binders, you'll see where it says it has our letterhead, Sheridan Fire District, and it's behind the tab introduction, red tab introduction. Everyone ready? Okay. So thank you for being here. I'm going to read to you about the budget message, but also will be more detailed in the very near future towards the end. So thank you to our board, budget committee, residents, and customers of Sheridan Fire District. On our behalf, as today's date, May 27, 2022, I am pleased to present to you the fiscal year 2022-2023 proposed budget for Sheridan Fire District. This budget has been prepared in accordance with the state of Oregon, ORS's 294.426, and you can read the rest, and is intended to serve as a financial plan, policy document, communications device, and operations guide. This document tells the story of how the district is using the public's money to save lives, protect property, and strengthen community relationships. The following proposed budget is structurally balanced for each fund, with projected fund balances at or above the minimum reserve required by the state law in the Sheridan Fire District policy. Accomplishments, gotcha issues, and initiatives. Our current administration assumed command of the district on October 1st, 2021, which is 3 months into the fiscal year 2021-2022. We were left with two employees, needing four additional employees to staff one ambulance effectively and safely. Without advertising our needs, we received four immediate requests from outside firefighters to be employed in our district. After receiving emergency approval, these latest additions immediately increased our services with positivity and professionalism. We then began the task of reviewing our budget for potential issues, what I call gotcha moments. It was found that the adopted budget was potentially inflated beyond a singular organization's funding. We started auditing all expenditures and revenues to gain knowledge of exact resource availability. We then cautiously reviewed the organization's current capabilities to determine if there was an avenue to provide better services for our customers. We determined that a third person could be added with minimal effect on the current budget. In January of 2022, we went to three-person shifts. During this recovery process, we were amid a seismic grant from the 2021 budget year. The grant was approved for $2.1 million. The grant came with gotcha issues for state and district funding. The seismic project is slated for completion this June. When the administration team was sworn in, it was revealed that the current operational five-year levy would be expiring within this term. A plan and a rapidly deployed subcommittee were put into place to obtain the levy's approval. Thank you to the voters of the Sheridan Fire District who approved the ballot measure 36-211, a new operational levy of 0.88 per 1,000 of assessed value for the years 2022 through 2027. The new levy monies will be monitored closely to ensure resources are focused on providing quality service and value for the communities. As part of this effort, staff embraces the concept of identifying the challenging problems to resolve the gotcha issues and crafting initiatives to chart the course for improving the value and quality of service. A district strategic operational plan is in its planning phases to provide a transparent and communicative message and glide path to our staff and our taxpayers. Budget overview and process. This budget focuses on providing quality service, value, and full service engagement in the communities we serve. We are your local fire district. To provide the value, all efforts have been applied to scrutinize the budget to allow the district to provide essential services to the community with the least amount of support and administration costs possible. Impacts and changes to the previous budget. As you are aware, this will be the inaugural budget for Sheridan Fire District after the organizational merger attempt of Southwest Polk and West Valley Fire Districts was dissolved as of July 1st, 2021, and the budgets were separated. Your staff and its professional designees untangled the finances through multi-phase audits and reviews that lasted the entire year and were highly complicated with multi-tiers of intertwined financing contracts. Your district staff has done a miraculous job locating, appropriating, and accounting for the past administration's budget and allocation practices. You will find that the previous 2021-2022 budget for Sheridan Fire District was inflated due to the potential of a three-department revenue system. We took a more conservative and fiscally cautious approach and found that services could be increased while taking a little debt moving forward. This is the text I'm coming out now. Closing, y'all. This budget has been prepared to provide a sustainable service delivery plan. This budget ensures operational needs are met as the Sheridan Fire District continues to effectively provide emergency response and life safety services while remaining receptive to our customers' needs and the current economy. Therefore, the Sheridan Fire District presents this proposed budget for fiscal year 2022-2023 to the Budget Committee, Board of Directors, and our public for their review, comments, and approval. Respectfully, myself, Les Thomas, Fire Chief, Sheridan Fire District. If you'll see at the bottom, we did it in memory of past board members Scott Breeden and Dennis Rogers. Rest easy, we will take it from here. Any questions so far? So I would like to emphasize that this is a snapshot and we took a long look at the budget. We're gonna get further into it. These are estimates based on the information that we have. We've been able to vet, if not all of it, a majority of it. We'll be able to answer the questions when we go singularly to each line item, okay, or each budget line. So when you turn the page, it says proposed fiscal year 2022-2023 budget. It gives you an idea. Now, this is a brief for you of projected revenue and projected expenses. And this being a zero fund balance budget, it works out to zero in the end. You'll turn the page. There's a graph At any time, if you have a question, please let me know. We'll answer them. The graphs just verify what you read in the previous document. Turning through the graphs, you'll see where we had transfers, debt services. Our largest expenditure, obviously, is our personnel services. We're going to explain these in more detail shortly. And then the last page on this particular section is how many runs we made, to give you an idea on why our services had to increase, why we asked for more money, and the anticipation of all the above happening again in the next few years. Any questions so far? We'll get into the specific budget information in just a moment. So the state of Oregon requires their accounting practices be known. The following sheets are what the state of Oregon requires us to present to you. I don't feel that I need to read these to you unless you want me to. And it's specifically in there says why we do it, how we do it, based on the state of Oregon. And it summarizes at the very last page a summary of budget practices. That's probably the best purview for you. If you need a few moments to read it, please let me know. So with any budget, we also have in here what personal services, what personnel we're going to have for what we're paying for. And that's one of the things that we are striving to do a better job every day, is being transparent and open about what services we're going to be able to provide our customers. And if you turn the page, the statement of full-time equivalents, you can see the comparisons from fiscal year 19-20 to proposed, which is current. We averaged 14 the first 2 years, 13 the third, and then with the current levy, we're going to be able to increase staffing to support the two ambulance concept that we told our customers. You turn the page again, you'll see Sheridan Fire District. This is our command structure. This is our chart of personnel, the positions that are in place. And what you see, starting with, we answer to the public, the district board, and then we start the command structure with myself, Chief Wooldridge over here to my left, the office administrator, and then we break it down under operations under Chief Wooldridge. You'll see we represent our volunteers from the three stations. They have three lieutenants. Have a captain and three lieutenants. We did this with obviously zero cost because they're volunteers. We wanted a single source of contact because the span of control was greater than what we could really communicate effectively. And that was one of the concerns from the previous administration, communication. So we've worked on that, and we believe we have a solid foundation of communication and moving forward from this standpoint. The three shifts that you see, the A, B, and C shifts, previously the organization did not have any mid-level management of any type. It was either firefighter EMT, firefighter paramedic, and the sole source of command wasn't available in the evenings when the command structure wasn't here. So they were using different means of seniority, dedication to make decisions, which were sometimes good and sometimes not so good. So we immediately saw this as something that we needed to address, specifically if we planned on offering additional services. We want to be able to have someone in place that could have a specific function that can answer for these services, because we're going to ask for a greater demand from our employees. So as you see those captains, we call them AICs because we have not given the captain's test. We have people that are going to apply at the end of June. We're going to give them a captain's test. And obviously, you have to have a reserve AIC in place, which would be our minimum. We're going to call them a firefighter 2. And then below that, because of the levy, we have not employed them yet. And we'll show you that in just a moment. We'll have two firefighter two firefighters added to each shift. So that'll give us the ability to run two ambulances, and some days we can even have an engine company available. We're super excited about that. Any questions? Let me know. I'm looking at you and your guys aren't shaking your head, so I don't feel like I'm going too fast. I want to make sure everybody's having an opportunity to absorb it. So in the demographics portion, I believe you might know something about Sheridan since you're all from here majority of the time. But this tells you a little bit about our organization. If you didn't know, we cover 146 square miles, which doesn't sound like a lot to someone from a metro organization until you have to drive to the top of one of these. You guys call them hills, I call them mountains. So it's a long, windy road to get to some of these places. So our transport times are greater than normal. We can have transport times 30 to 45 minutes. So when you see this, you'll see some of the issues that we're having. With that being said, that's the reason why we pushed for the second ambulance. That ambulance, because we're transporting, even if we're going just to McMinnville, our transport time from there to the hospital and then being released to come back and serve the community was sometimes greater than the need. So, and our need is multiple calls going at the same time. And we'll be able to explain that more in just a minute. And you'll see the service map. If you're not familiar where our stations are located, obviously the one in Sheridan right now, this map was pulled from a previous study. We go with singular or two digit numbers now. So if you look at Sheridan, we're actually gonna be called Station 9. Boston would be Station 9-8, and then Buell will be 9-7. Simplicity, we take the one out of the front. Any questions? So we're gonna go into the tab, the 2022-23 budget. So when you see this, this is what I'd like to call the condensed version of the budget. Okay, and we'll be able to break down the line items in just a minute. But when you see this, we're going to reference each one of these lines more specifically, and you'll be able to see it broke down better and as we move forward. Okay, this is for you to see up close and personal. We're going to go to the next thing, which will start with revenue, will be go to the blue tab, and it's going to go back and reference this one if you want to flip back and forth, but it'll be more specific. So we're under general fund, we're under the blue tab, and blue tab are considered revenues or resources. So if you were to turn, keep this page in mind, if you were to turn the page one more time, it gets into specifics of that specific budget line. So you can see that this will break it down a little bit more individualistically, if that's a word. So tax revenues, if you were to break this down, tax revenue total, this is with the levy, would be $1,082,440. Now, again, I want to caution our committee that these are numbers that are estimated based on what the county has shared with us. The potentials are, and you'll see down here in a minute, that we're going to have to allow the potential for a 6% to 5% loss in one of the categories or the other, meaning some people are slow to pay their taxes or can't. So in Yamhill, you'll see that the prior years was $410,765,734. I lost a digit, sorry. Estimated increase, 3.5%. If you're familiar with how the levy works, and we'll talk a little bit more later, but just to start this off, the district's permanent tax rate is 1.1188. So I shortened it down. Susan has counseled me not to do that. So it's 1.1188. The local option levy rate is 0.88. So if we add those two together, we're looking at 1.99. The previous was 1.1188.35. Oh, Susan's remind me, 1.9988. Thank you, Susan. So The reason, oh, I'm not supposed to call her name. She doesn't want anybody to know what she's talking about. So the budget justification, the reason I want you to see this is because in the past, I've been a part of these meetings and just the numbers were just thrown at somebody and they were expected to swallow them and move forward. That's not what we want to do here. We want to make sure you understand, and I'm not trying to insult anybody because I'm absorbing this myself, but where these numbers come from and why we are using them for if the reasons we're using them for. So this tells you where some of the money is. We haven't talked about additional revenues just yet, but this is the general fund, the tax revenue portion of it. And if you'll see part of the way down there, estimated uncollected in discounts, this is the formula that we use when we estimate the numbers. It's literally the county says approximately it could be 6%, 7%, or 4%. They don't know, but we generally use 6% as that number for Yamhill, and then they're saying 5% for Polk, and it may be one way or the other, but we just pick the number and go with it. You know, your friends or your family not paying $63,000 is really a good number for us to collect. Thank you. So remember this number, 1,082,441, as we turn the page. So, and we'll bring this all back together. You don't have to write. You could write, I guess. I should have brought calculators too, but a part of the budget justification are other revenue sources as well. So if you look to the next page, now remember, again, estimates only, but income on interest and bank savings accounts, conflag monies, which if you're not familiar, conflagrations are when we send personnel out to assist the state or other agencies in putting out large wildland fires. And it's a billable rate for vehicle and personnel. And we also are reimbursed for people that we hire into that position to cover while they're gone. And that is a pretty conservative number considering that a couple of years ago, it was $250,000. And then last year we had a slow year and we got almost $100,000. We invoiced for $100,000 and we only received $20,000. And that's something that we're working on to recover the additional $45,000. Thank you. Surplus sales, as per our budget. Just a second, Caroline, I'll share that with you. Surplus sales, our board has asked us to surplus vehicles, and I'm going to give you an example. There's a Tahoe that is really burning a hole in one of our board members' crawl, and we're going to get rid of that thing shortly. It is something that is way out of service, unsafe. We've taken the stickers and the lights off of it, and we're in the process. We had to log in, change the administration, which has taken me 2 weeks, to our administration so we can now surplus it. So we're going to get that taken care of. That's a very light number considering some of the things that we will surplus. We're looking at some more numbers. Miscellaneous surplus sales, miscellaneous and address signs. The address signs I've noticed as I've been driving around the district are some of the signs are faded. I'm going to try to come up with a plan to send out letters to our community members to say, hey, do you want an upgraded sign? And then we'll work out a program to maybe discount it or whatever so that we can get these signs back out there. I really believe it helps our people at night when they can see these signs and we can get there quicker. So please, one line, that 8,000, I neglected to remove that and put it somewhere else. So if you wouldn't mind, yeah, the total is correct. So 75,200 is correct. If you'll one line that 8,000, I would appreciate it. So user fees, this is again, estimates. The ambulance user fees, the billing company that we currently use, when I got here, I wanted to research, what's the term I'm looking for? I wanted to see if we could get a better rate. just like looking at insurances and those kind of things. The current organization we use bills at a certain amount per run. We went out and we did a competitive process where I talked to different agencies. We found an agency that will not only offer us a cheaper rate per run to process, but also immediately dump it into the GMT process. And I'll explain that to you in a moment. It's a reimbursement process for Medicaid. Also, the way they bill, they don't increase our charge to our customers, but they're more detailed billing, which would in turn theoretically bring us more revenue. And that's why when July 1st starts, when they start, we're going to have to do a comparison the first few months to make sure this is an estimate only. I believe that number could be higher, but I don't know yet based on what we're going to see in the revenue from the new billing company. But we did this in comparison to the past 3 years just to play it safe. Very conservative, we believe, in nature. Cost recovery is a program that is used to recover monies during accidents. So let's say an out-of-town vehicle, large 18-wheeler or something has a wreck. We bill the insurance company, not the person. Well, excuse me, the company bills them. We just send them the information. The rights of this are we don't bill people that are locally. If you have a shared and fire district address, we don't bill you for that. But if it's someone from the outside, we do send the bill out. And it's not very much initially, but we're not using it all the time. Our new employees are in the process of recommitting to this venture. So we're in the retraining phase for this. And I believe we're very conservative with that number. Fire Med memberships.
Chief, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
The cost recovery, that number seems kind of low. I'm just curious if that's been something that's been in the process for a bit. I'm just curious.
Oh, yes, yeah, absolutely. Good question. At one time, we were doing previous location where I worked, we were doing 7, 8, 10 wrecks a week, and we were only garnering 10 to 15 grand a year. And we were very religious about sending these things in. And it's based on the insurance company. And obviously there's multitudes of different insurance companies and the rates they charge and bill. Usually the first person that gets, or first group that gets the insurance request in, gets the lion's share of the money. They can deny it. We don't want to fight for that money. We bill for that money, but it costs us more money to put it in a lien than it would to actually garner the money that's coming in. I don't have the number on percentage on what we could gain from it, but it takes moments to take the insurance information down and bill it to the insurance companies. But that number, as I believe you're alluding to, are we actually gaining anything with the person power we're putting into this venture? Are we really receiving the revenue as much as we should? And that's one of the things we're in the process of evaluating. So
is it a matter of geographic insurance information and the license? But I mean, if the service isn't, if there is a cost to the insured driver, then part of that cost is the cost of the services that you provide. So that is what is hard to recover then. It's not like they claim against that. And I guess it's
theoretically,
it seems
yeah.
like it would be easier to recover something. I recognize it's not.
Yeah, no, I agree. When this product is sold to you by the people who sell you this product, it is the best thing ever. And when you try to implement it, there's little roadblocks here and there, like patient's injured. We can't get any information. We just try to pull from the VIN. Sometimes the VIN's not accurate or the insurance is not up to date. I mean, there's all kinds of things. We absolutely would like to I would like to see this thing garner more revenue than what it is. And again, it's going to be something that we're going to go after really, really extensively the first few months to see if it's worth it. And then I want to give an update to the board on progress. And I believe that this is something that is a potential for recovery, seriously. And that's something we want to push for. We don't nickel and dime our people, though. I want to make sure you know that. If you're a shared fire district resident, you won't get one of these. And again, it just bills to their insurance company, not the individual. So you see the FireMed memberships. Is everyone here familiar with the FireMed concept? We will be redoing the FireMed brochure this next year, and it's going to be more specific educationally, meaning that there's some misbelief that if you call an ambulance, you're covered. That's not the concept. FireMed is if you call for assistance by ambulance, it has to be in a category of life-threatening. And that category is a small window that we need to do a better job as an organization educating the community on. We can't be all-encompassing, but we can share with them, here is the general areas that are going to be covered. And that's one of the things we're going to key on this next cycle. So earlier I talked to you about GMT. The GMT process is a state-supported reimbursement program. So when we transport persons who are on Medicaid, the percentage that we receive, let's say hypothetically it costs $1,000 to transport this person. Out of that $1,000, Medicaid may only pay us $200. That's just an idea. So we turn this into the state. The state will cover a large percentage of the monies we didn't garner. So we've put a person on staff on contract that is able to communicate with the state. It was actually the person who built the program, if you want to know the truth, for the state of Oregon. And they're able to get us monies and reimbursements. This will happen 1 to 2 times a year. And that money, that is an extremely conservative amount, because when we did the program 2 years ago, it was $250,000. Now, I'm telling you $50,000 because I don't want to commit ourselves to something that doesn't come into fruition. This is actually a really good number, considering that we just, what was the number, 54? The month we just got. No, I'm going to go. $54,000 is what they just told us. So, and this is for the 21-22 budget. So, any questions on that? So if you turn to the orange tab, which is the fiscal year general fund, we're still in the general fund, personnel services. This is the one where the lion's share of the money in any organization I've ever been in career-wise, the lion's share of the money where it goes. And it is shocking sometimes when people read this number. But part of the process is we did an evaluation when we first arrived. And as I said in my budget message, we found that our volunteers want to volunteer, but their abilities to respond are very limited based on their jobs, their commutes to their jobs, their family dedications. We've also written a grant for a volunteer retention and recruitment coordinator. We will not know the results of this grant until November. That person's only job, and it's paid for 3 years by the United States Fire Service, but that person's only job is to go out and recruit volunteers, retain those volunteers. Because one of the problems we run into is bringing a volunteer on for a short period of time, investing time, buying them gear, sending them to school, and then they decide they don't want to do it anymore, and we have to start all over again. So not just bringing them in, but retaining them is one of our goals. We'd like to bolster our volunteer force. But with that being said, we had to go out and see what would be the best option for our organization to offer the services that we believe were missing in the community at the time. And when we did this evaluation, we put together a subcommittee, and that subcommittee shared with us that if the levy were to pass, we would be able to staff or add a second ambulance to respond. That was the need, because before I gave you the numbers on how many runs are made per year, it's in the 82 plus percentile EMS runs. So, and the remaining are fire. So with that being said, that's why we keyed on 2 additional persons for the ambulance. As you see the FTEs going through this, we're going to have 3 administrative staff, which will be Chief Wooldridge, myself, and Chrissy here. Chrissy will be our office admin. Christy. Yeah, I know I'm not finishing my tea for some reason. Christy, thank you. firefighter, paramedics, firefighter, EMTs, which is line staff, you see 13. That's an odd number. It doesn't work in a fire service very well. It'll actually be 12 line, and the 13th person, we're wanting to move one of our senior people offline into a daytime role for EMS coordination, where we need a majority of our assistance. Training, supplies, coordination, licensing, all these things that are very difficult to maintain. And then you see the overtime status, and this is based on the averages from last year. And with COVID as the way it was, there was a lot of overtime. So we actually were conservative with this number. We can compare to the others. And then the part-time staff. We're working with our union currently in negotiations. It's going really well. We believe we're in the final stages of completing this. And our union has agreed to allow us to use part-time staffing when we start to run low, because one of the things we found out, morale was extremely low in the previous organization because they were mandatory working people 72 and 96 hours straight. We are not a fan of this because A, it's not legal, and B, it's just not safe. So we set our goal at 72 hours, 72 hours, and then we're gonna replace you. Barring some natural disaster where everyone has to work an extended period of time, of course. But as you see there, that number is total salaries and wages. And that's, you'll see we'll do roll-ups in just a moment, but this is the wages, and it's 1.83100. And with the benefits below, workers' compensation. We anticipate a change in workers' compensation. Workers' compensation, because we are governed by SDAO, and we found out from our insurance agency that it's a three-year average. They're using our 3 years. The first year is when we were three organizations. So a lot more employees and a lot more injuries that happened, not here per se, but in the other districts. We still have to carry that average for a year and a half, 2 years more. We believe this number will come down. We're not 100% sure, but based on what they're telling us. So we went ahead and stuck with the higher number just to play it safe. Payroll taxes, they are what they are. PERS, we only have one tier two employee. Oh, we have two. Who was the second? Riggs, are you kidding me?
Yeah, he knew it was coming.
If I'd have known that. Sorry, let me back up. I digress. We have two tier two employees. So we have to pay the PERS at that level, and everyone else is op-cert, including myself, which is tragic. So you see the total employee benefits, and if when you turn the page, it's very specific on how we break it down. The FTEs, and then budget justification for the roll-ups. And the roll-ups are based on the health insurance we offer to our employees currently. We are reviewing other insurances as we go through this process. We haven't made a great move yet, but we're looking at VIBAs and other potentials to help us out. Any questions about personnel services? All right, everyone's favorite, yellow tab, materials and services. This is fun. Is everyone ready to move forward? So again, referencing the blue tab, it says general fund. If you'll turn to the additional page, it breaks it down more specifically. So budget justification, these accounts provide the necessary funding to purchase supply, use around the station, small appreciations, incentive awards, utilities, cleaning supplies, and everything else. You'll see 5-1 at the bottom of the page. Again, estimates. I want to be very clear, based on last year and this year, we are adding additional numbers because we know we're going to have more people in the station. So some of our consumable numbers are going to stay the same, and you'll even see some of them will drop down based on the fact that we just remodel our entire station. We'll get to that seismically in just a moment. So So general supplies. Oh, my bad. Y'all still looking at the summary? Oh, wait.
That's okay.
Yes, sir. The minor stuff, we have a person that comes in and does it for low set, like oil changes and those kind of things. He does it for free for his retirement. He's in the low set system. But the stuff that is certified, any of the EVT stuff, emergency vehicle technician, we send out to certified people, which you can only imagine how expensive that is. Dallas, we have a credit with Dallas. We've been calling them and they are having trouble getting us in on their schedules. So they're that busy. We already have an engine that is at True North, which is out of Hillsboro, for a Gremlin that you would not believe. It's the motherboard and it's $7,000. I don't mean to shock you with that number, but it is what it is. Our maintenance, we have found, can be done better. And we've started a program to isolate and to be specific on areas, specifically say tires, apparatus maintenance when it comes to valves and such. We're adding this into our daily checks to make sure we're more specific with prevention. And that's one of the things that we're in the middle of working on. But as for the actual maintenance of the vehicles themselves, we have to be very specific on who we send them to. So in the previous budget, the utilities were individually set out, station 9, 97, and 98. And what we've done is condensed this for simplicity reasons. We know based on the yearly spend average for the three stations that, and we also have allocated a little additional money considering that everything, including air, apparently is gonna be charged higher in the near future. So we have gone to that. I can't wait to talk to you about gas in just a minute. I'm super excited about that one. But facility maintenance, as I said earlier, I wanted you to be aware that our entire central station or station 9 here in Sheridan has gone through a seismic upgrade, meaning the interior has literally been gutted. The HVAC system has been gone through. The electrical system has been gone through. The sprinkler system failed and we've had to have it replaced, which is part of a Schedule B process. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it's almost a brand new station inside and out. So we believe that that money would have been higher any other year. This year, it's a little less than what it would be. And it's based on the estimates of there's not much maintenance we need to do. The rural stations, for example, Boston, we're going to need to add gravel to it because it has a little bit of a flood area there or a high water area there that's pretty intense to see sometimes. But we're going to get that taken care of. And then there's some minor things at the Buell station that we're working on. And in the future, we're going to, at a later date, don't have that number or date yet, we're going to increase the abilities of each one of these stations. But we'll talk to you in the future about that. So the next page is professional services, professional fees. So this account is the professional fees that the district incurs during the fiscal year. Northwest Local Government Legal Advisors provide our legal counsel. This also covers the required professional services, such as election costs, publications of meetings, budget, audit, etc. Billing service for ambulance, MVAs, GMT reports are also included here. Physicals, testing, vaccines, and our contracted services as well. This is one of those areas where I hate to, and I don't like the word miscellaneous, let's be very clear. I want to get rid of that word. But in here, we had to make our budgets more simple and easier to understand. We've tried to put them in the categories where it's easiest for us to allocate and to forecast for. So when you see these, it's based on the ability to lump them together and also forecast better. So the auditor, audit and accounting consultation, we signed a contract with Acuity, that's where that auditor amount is coming from. And this is because again, as I said earlier, when we received this budget, we had a lot, we had more questions than we had answers. So we went, we wanted to do a 3-year survey. So it started at a baseline for this year, next year, and then the next, we'll have a true idea on how we're doing forecasting and if the monies are being allocated in the correct places. So when you see that, that's what that's about. That's a yearly fee for a 3-year contract. Our attorney, this one goes without saying, we've had a lot of conversations with this really nice lady named Eileen Akins. She is our attorney, and she has done wonderful things for us and guided us in those places where we had questions. We also used the special districts for free labor up to 8 hours, and after that, they charge you. But if we have questions related to that or the board has questions, we can reach out to her to make sure that our job from this point forward is to be open and transparent with every move we make. And I want to make sure that we are following the rules of Oregon, common sense, and practicality. And as you might have seen earlier, one of the mottos that we've taken on is just do the right thing. And that is being open, honest, and transparent with our community. And we're going to continue to push that forward. Billing services, as we talked before, this is some of for example, the billing service we talked about, to where we can gain additional revenue. We pay them out of this contractual area. Member physicals, testing the vaccines, you have to have yearly. We are required through NFPA to give a medical physical to our people. It has not happened in a year or so. So this is on our radar to get done. And what this does is, with the new laws that have come out in Oregon, if you're not familiar, the presumptive cancer laws, we're setting our people up for success. We're giving baseline physicals to see if there's any illnesses pre-existing or anything like that, and treating them as such. And these guidelines are based on an NFPA standard, National Fire Protection Association standard, that sets the guidelines for us. And it's a very expensive process, but we are going through this as well as we can, not just the career, but also our volunteers as we can. The volunteers were the last group that got to go through, and that was a year and a half ago, I believe. So we're working on that. That's why you see that there. Contracted services, ESO, Target Solutions, GNSA, IT websites, and physical advisor. I'm not sure what that's. But ESO and Target Solutions, ESO is our billing program. And the reason we continue to use the ESO program is because it directly drops into our billing service. And they use those numbers for GEMT, for billing out, for patient care. And it's a singular source that way. Instead of sending it all 4 or 5 different directions, that's why we chose the one vendor. So now it's a little bit more condensed and easier to use. GNSA right now is payroll. I've asked our new office admin person to research on more user-friendly organization. I don't know if it exists, but we're going to research that. And hopefully find that one that fits our needs. Website, everyone I talk to, I like our website. Everyone I talk to says it's atrocious. So I'm assuming I'm going to have to change it. So that's what that part's about. We want to stay in contact with our public and have the means to be able to download forms and or request information. We answer every single question that we get from the public as we can. And we believe that we could get in touch with the public a little bit easier and make ourselves a little bit more accessible. Our goal is also to put a reader board out front so we can share the information better. We haven't got there yet. Don't panic. But we'll talk about things like that in the future. And dispatch, believe it or not, people charge us to send us on calls. YCOM is a great group that I have, very professional group that I have had the privilege of working with. And Patty runs that organization. She's a super nice person, and she happens to be a Sheridan Fire District resident. She cares for us. I told her to give us a discount. I didn't. I have to charge everybody the same, Les. I'm like, come on, man. So materials and services is your next page, 5-4. This is earlier we talked about repairs on apparatus. Vehicles and equipment, routine, ongoing maintenance, including items such as lube oil, filter brakes, alignment, etc. Annual NFPA apparatus and fire pump testing. Did I miss travel? Maybe I did it on purpose. My sheets are stuck together. Would it be okay if I finish this one and go back since I'm already talking? I apologize. I'm trying to skip ahead, you know, trying to get done. Anyway, annual NFPA apparatus and fire pump testing, apparatus and equipment maintenance. Maintenance of supplies and tools, broad category here. But we found that some of our maintenance issues are based on the fact that things like, believe it or not, oil wrench is missing, or it's just our shop is in a disarray. It's disappointing. So one of our goals, again, with our maintenance program is to get ourselves better supplied, a maintenance program in place that is accountable. And that's one of the things we're working on. When you see these numbers, that's what that about. That's about apparatus maintenance and service specifically is going in there and doing maintenance and service. We have spent a lion's share of the money this past year because when we received these vehicles, they were not in tip-top shape, as I believed. We've had a couple of vehicles that have been down for an extended period of time, greater than 3 months at a time. And it's partially, I know I get tired of hearing this myself, when you order a part, somebody somewhere put COVID on it and it's in a container somewhere in the middle of the ocean. We've waited 3 months for just some basic pieces before, and it's really disheartening. So fuel and oil. Again, I wanted to soften you up for this one. So originally I did the numbers, let's just be very clear. Susan did the numbers and I overlooked over her shoulder that we based it at $6 a gallon. Maybe I should have said seven, but that's the best we could do at the moment. We can't control inflation and what may or may not occur. So that number is based on a higher estimate in our opinion, and also the fact that we are going to have a better ability to account for the fuel. And I say that based on the fact that we go to the fuel pumps at the Sheridan Fire Station. It's a simple system. You go in there and you turn a knob, turns the pump on, somebody pumps it in there. After they pump the fuel, whether it's diesel or gasoline, they are supposed to go into the station, fill out manually how much fuel they put in there. Who here believes that happens every time? I don't, because the numbers I'm seeing, the numbers that we put together, I'm not satisfied with it. I want a more detailed version of this. So our community is fortunate enough that we're receiving two new rebuilt gas stations. And these gas stations are going to have card lock program. We're going to know how much, who, where, how is spent. So this number, I'm going to be able to adjust next budget because I'm going to have a better idea. Hopefully it doesn't go past $6 a gallon. So I apologize. So we digress to the previous page, 5.3. So under this travel and education insurance, and that word miscellaneous that I despise. So under travel and education, this is theoretically lumped together. Our agency, as we said before, we're in a cultural change, and one of the cultural changes is education. We're going to have a succession program in place where our people are required to have certain levels of education to move up or move forward. This holds them accountable, and it also helps our customers by having that additional resource or additional education available to use in their toolbox, if you will. One of the things that I am a firm believer in, because I'm currently in my executive fire officer program, I leave Saturday morning for Washington, D.C. It was a two-year program. I'm in my third year. Figure that out. It's a government. But I have asked our potential officers to attend this National Fire Academy, which is reimbursable. Let's be clear. We have to pay for a meal ticket, which, believe it or not, is the worst food you've ever had in your life, for $200 plus. But there's also other local educational potentials out here that we would like to send all of our people to garner more knowledge and to bring it back to our community and help our citizens better. So when you see this number, it's literally, last year it was at 25. We've lowered it to 18 because I don't want to gouge in any way. So that number is based on the assumptions of what's available and how we're going to be able to send them out. Insurance is what it is. I can't control it. I wish I could. But the comprehensive liability, AD&D, and 24-hour accidental death is something, unfortunately, in our organization, or our type of organization, excuse me, is something that you have to have for your people, because bad things happen to good people. And that's one of the things that we have to be very cautious about. With our estimates, we try to err toward the cautious side. Miscellaneous expenditures, as you see, subscriptions, ads, publications. Again, that gets back into the educational part. Some subscriptions. I have a few of the periodicals sent to the station educational-wise, so we can look at additional information or outside sourcing and those kind of things for education. Ads, we are going to send out with that, as I said before, about retaining or recruiting volunteers. We have to put ads in the bulletin, in the papers, in places like that, so they know that we're recruiting. And also any events where we have to do any type of local events, we want to make sure the public knows about. And then when we get into resolutions and things like that, we are required to advertise as well. Banking fees, $325. I don't know if I can expand upon that. Community relations, $2,000. Again, we get back into that. And then that miscellaneous is $300, because you know what? I hate miscellaneous, and Susan put it in there for me. How's everyone doing? You guys okay? Would you like to take a break for a moment, get a water or anything, or you want to keep going? Everyone online, we're going to take about a 7-minute break. So please stretch your legs. Okay, everyone, welcome back. Thank you for your patience. We can blame it on Pete, maybe. So we are 5-5, material and services. Personal protective equipment, 32,000. Uniform structural protective equipment and wildland protective equipment. Any questions about that one? Yes, because we stagger them. We try not to buy them all at the same time because they expire. That has been the policy in the past that they bought a bulk and they're all expiring. That's why you see this number. So we're going to try to stagger it a little bit so we don't get hit all at the same time.
What do you think of the breakdown
of some
of those uniforms?
Sure. So
uniforms is about 10,000, and that includes two sets of fire resistant for all the career staff. And it also includes a set for all volunteers at this time. And then we've got 12 of that as a potential grant match for an AFG grant for the structural turnout. And so if we don't get the grant, obviously that 12 will be put towards purchase of new PPE. And then when the districts all split, a majority of our wildland stuff didn't stay for some reason. And so we're in the process of trying to revamp that process.
Any additional questions on that? All right. Materials and services, apparatus and equipment maintenance. The maintenance supplies and tools we talked about briefly earlier, and then the fuel we talked about earlier. Any questions about that previous one? All right. We talked about PPE. Materials and services, general fund, equipment, EMS supplies, and conflag expenses. The equipment, specifically, we're looking at monitors, ventilators, auto pulse, and other variances of fire equipment. And think about them being in different stages of disrepair and expiration. And EMS supplies is as it reads. Anytime we use it, we have to replace it. We're looking for avenues of alternative funding for these things or reimbursements. The conflag supplies is when we send out, it's everything you can imagine, man. Sleeping bags, tents get damaged or destroyed or just variances of everything. So if you turn it to the next tab, which is the green tab, which is debt transfer contingencies. And materials and services general fund, capital loan debt services. The debt service principal payment and the debt services interest payment came about. Do you remember earlier when we were speaking about the sprinkler system that failed? So during the seismic grant upgrade, they went through all the systems and found that our sprinkler system was in extreme disrepair, even though it passed miraculously the test earlier in the year. It was literally rusted out in places and had 8 to 10 different areas where it was totally blocked.
Plugged.
No water could get through there if it wanted to. So we're glad we found it. They found it. We had to replace it. That wasn't part of the grant. So we had to pony up those monies. So professional lenders is my lender said. And then also I spoke to several people at SEO, specifically fire chiefs, and I gave them the scenario and they recommended, all of them unanimously recommended we stay cash solvent. So we went out for a loan, and what you see here is the result of a 10-year loan at 3.3 that closes on June 1st. And that is to pick up the items that were not covered under the seismic upgrade and thus other equipment as well. Our goal is to play this thing off, to pay this thing off early. Six transfer out to the building maintenance reserve fund. This again is the fund that we had in place that would help us if the Schedule B, Schedule A is covered by grant from the state. Schedule B is our portion we're responsible for, and we were led to believe that a couple of other items would be covered, and the state denied them. So we went ahead and put money in here because the seismic grant upgrade is not finished, and we want to play it safe to make sure those items are covered. And we want to save money transferred out to equipment reserve fund because we know in the next 2 to 3 years, we're going to have to replace our third oldest ambulance. It's starting to go toward the end of its service life. And we're also going to continue to go after grants to replace equipment, which we believe we are in really good shape on these grants, but we'll see. And this will help us in the future. So transfer out to the volunteers. One of the things that we're running into is previous administration withheld monies, the $20,000. This is monies that are used for their retirement, LOSEP. LOSEP is a volunteer retirement system. And I was fortunately to be a part of some of these meetings, and they withheld that retirement monies and under the premise if they, because they lost their 501(c), and if they got the 501(c) back and they took certain steps, they were promised these monies. And so what we did was we gave the volunteers their owed monies, and then you'll see we went ahead and resubmitted for this year. Now, to be very clear, our volunteers, now that they have their bylaws in place, are going to be held to the standard of X amount of runs, X amount of meetings to meet the minimum criteria, which gives them the ability to apply for their retirement for LOSEP. That's one of the options. We wanted to make sure that the standard is in place, and we're going to be working on that the very first part of the budget year to make sure the monies are allocated correctly and efficiently. Any questions? Six, three, contingency. So I told you about the loan earlier that we took. During our board meeting, it was brought to our attention, rightfully so, that we wanted to make sure the monies that we are allocating from that loan aren't just lumped into the budget and spent, I hate to use her frivolously, but without cost. So a contingency, we took $230,000 of it and put it in a contingency. That way, if we wanted to use this money for specifics, as we said earlier, for repair, replacement, additional purchases of a capital item, we would have to have a resolution which the board would have to vote on to bring it out to use. We believe that is the best way to stay transparent and open with our budget. It's because the entire organization would know, the board would know, the community would know, because we'd have to do a resolution to pull this money out for X amount of dollars for whatever the subject may be. And that's a promise I've made to the community, that we're going to be open and transparent on how we spend our money and why we spend our money for the betterment. And the remaining monies are specifically contingency. So if something bad were to happen. So our next tab is the, we call it pink tab. I had to ask. Reserve funds. And as we've gone through the entire process, the blue tab up top, that is the condensed version of what we're going into, the specifics, budget justification, reserve fund for building maintenance. So again, this all ties into what I was saying earlier. There will be a transfer in of $20,000 from the general fund unless an unforeseen circumstance arises during the year. This fund is for accumulated funds for future maintenance and repair expenditures to stations. The principal source of revenue is from transfers from the general fund. So if you look down below, the summary will give you the reasons for the amount. Beginning balance, $123,250, transfer from the general fund of $20,000 leaves us a balance of $143,250. So expenditures, building, repair, and maintenance, $15,000. Seismic upgrades, district share, $20,000. Station upgrades and remodel. That 108 and 20 will probably be, well, I won't say that. There's potential for using it for Schedule B. How about that? Questions? So we're moving on to equipment reserve fund. Before, the condensed version shows you what we are putting aside for which type of vehicle. Our goals are to increase this, but as you see, there will be a transfer in of $30,000 from the general fund unless an unforeseen circumstances arise. This fund is for accumulating funds for future purchase of equipment, similar as we read earlier. Beginning balance of $18,900 transferred to the general fund of $30,000, leaves us $48,900. We have it in equipment purchase, and that is gonna be allocated for, you think of rescue tools, you think of whatever it is that we're going to need to replace based on wear and tear and damage. But our next step will be to add money to the ambulances fund as we move forward. So one of the funding that we receive a grant, is it a grant? Memorial donation, thank you. We receive a memorial donation from the Fancher family every year. And this is the last year it was not presented to any of our volunteers because we didn't have a banquet. We will have a banquet this year, and we're going to offer this memorial to two of our volunteers, EMS and fire providers. And as you look, the fund was established in memory of John Fancher, a longtime community member and Sheridan Fire District board member. This award is given yearly to two recipients, one in the fire area and one in the EMS area, $100 each, recognizing their contribution to and in the community and also to the fire and EMS area. Oh, I apologize. A lump sum was given to us and it gains that $5 interest that you see. My apologies.
The interest used to be a little bit.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore.
Can we continue on to 7-4, which is a volunteer spending authority fund? There will be a transfer in for $20,000 from the general fund. This fund houses the appreciation program for our volunteers, which is the LOSAP, the Length of Service Award Program. The principal source of revenue is from transfers from the general fund. This is earlier, as I said, the $20,000 that we owed the volunteers. This is the $20,000 we're transferring in for this budget here. Does that make sense? Any questions about that? Again, I want to make sure everyone's clear that we're holding them to a standard. They're going to earn their LOSAP monies. And then 7-5, reserve fund, seismic grant fund. Don't be shocked by this number. This is literally an in and out type number. So $685,000 is here. This fund was created in fiscal year 21-22 due to the need to track the $2,092,758 seismic grant project for Station 9. The process was started prior to the fund being created, so a resolution was done and the monies were moved to this newly created reserve fund. The expenditures and reimbursements related to the seismic project need to have full accountability for the state and our audit. This fund allows us to do that. So, history, this number, the 2.92, was in our budget in two different places. So they counted it twice the way they had it formatted.
It was in the building and in our revenue.
So when I tell you it was inflated, it shocked us when I saw it. So our office admin person, Susan Shepherd, star, brought it to our attention, and we were able to get with our board and move this money. Now we can clearly define where it is and how much it is and what it's used for. And it helps us tremendously to have this separated. And our board, amazing people, since they're listening. Okay. You're welcome. 7-6, reserve fund, grant fund. I enjoy, believe it or not, true story, writing grants. Now, if I can just get some of these to pay. This is a new fund created to track the multiple grants the district applies for and has the possibility of receiving. With having the grants in their own fund and listed by name, this allows for full transparency of which grant was received and for how much revenue was generated. This money will not be expended unless the grant revenue was received. So you see that amount, that is the amount we're asking for, okay? A lot of this and a large amount of this is 100% covered by AFG or SAFER. Some of it is not, but if you look down below the revenue expenditures, you'll see where we have 5% matching and 50-50 match. And then ones that say no match, meaning that that will be covered by 100% of the government if we get it. So the $2,250,000 and the $362,000 are possibilities to be 100% covered. We did the numbers, and each one of these are based on adding personnel and that recruitment retention coordinator I was telling you about. So we've written grants for both. Next year, we're going to go after vehicles. Any questions about that?
So, paper, grant,
yes, sir. Matching, there's no matching, it's 100%. So it's 3 years. Believe it or not, there's a glossary in the back. Could you, everyone, do me a favor? I'd like to give a round of applause to Susan and Christy for putting all the work into this. So, with that being said, I'd be happy to entertain any questions you may have. Also, thank you to our budget committee members that are here, to our board and the staff that have helped us through this process. We plan to do even better next year and more. We're going to clean this up. That's my goal, at least. So, we'll see. Yes, sir.
I had a question for you, Chief. First of all, this budget information is fantastic. So that's a testament to you. I'm assuming, Chief, you're part of that. But it is so easy to follow. I mean, budgets bore me to death. But this one, I mean, you can start at the beginning. It's kind of the guide on how it goes together, how it should flow, what needs to be said, all the way to the forgotten point where have the actors, things like that. It's absolutely seamless.
Thank you. It's the team. It wasn't me. I'm just the reader.
But with that, I do have a question.
Sure.
Yeah, that is having assisted with the previous bond manager, knowing some of the catchphrases and things that are kind of thrown out for and looking at some of the narrative that was used in the last bond. It talks in here. This is something I have on the website. I think I saw it in the voters and app too. But it talks in here a yes vote on the levy would kind of give a list of the items that it would fund. One would be a second hand that was 24 hours per day to meet the increasing demand for service. And then number two, replace expired or expiring protective equipment. And then increase the operational revenue. And I want you to know, first of all, I totally supported it. I mean, you can tell you inherited a mess, sorted it out, done wonderful things. But my question is, as you look at this, and as you look at, what maybe the average voter might see, they know you're doing good things, but I think sometimes some of these catchphrases can be a little misleading. Because if you look at the revenue that that bond will generate, my sanity, high school math says 2.1 million and change. And then you look at the items, three items that are listed there, and the number two being expiring PPE. And then when we look at budget, the budget shows what we're putting into PPE this year. And if you divide out some of the other things, probably it's really a fraction of what that is. And so the only thing I'm just saying is that I just caution sometimes the use of that term. I know that certainly the staffing is hugely important, and having staffing that can support the demands of
sure.
The district is hugely important. That's what it's all about. I just wonder when we see that, if that's something that go forward, you might not want to use the caution to just using that generic term. Don't catch the population.
Oh yeah, we, you know, and I want to be very transparent. This was my very first levy. And I've taken advice from everyone, and I wish I'd have known you were available. I would have definitely done
that. Well, no, it's just one of those things that I kind of noted, and I know.
No, we agree. There's so many things that we can do in 5 years that we're going to do.
And talent costs money too, right? To recruit talent, good people. And this is you're doing the right things, but that would be the only thing I do.
So I appreciate
other
that.
Other than that, I think it's fantastic. I assure you.
Yeah. And so, you know, that this first year, there's it doesn't generate as much. And so a majority of what that levy is going to generate will go to adding the personnel. And so that's why we did write a grant for the AFG. And so it is a portion of that revenue generated is going towards because this is the budget is based off of that that levy passing and the monies we'll receive. So it is going towards the match, you know, the 12,000 towards the 5% match. And so, you know, if we get the AFG grant, we will purchase a majority of what we need, but we're also trying to stagger it out. And so, you know, when we say that PPE and that kind of stuff, that is over a 5-year period. And so we'll add each year. And so I totally understand what you're saying, but, you know, the clarifier also is that we don't want to purchase it all again at once. And then in 10 years go, we got to do it again. And so it will be a staggered process, but.
And right now, just if we ordered PPE today, 26 to 35 weeks to get it in. And by that time, we've already got others expire. So it's kind of a race. I mean, it's really convoluted in a lot of ways. So no, I absolutely agree with what you're saying. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, that's very helpful.
You know, you look at this, and there's going to be 300 houses being shared in here. So, what are the property taxes on that? That's money that you didn't even expect to put in.
Right.
So, you couldn't possibly have more money than what's in this budget statement down the road.
Yeah. Potentially, yeah. It'll only be a benefit to the rest of the district. You know, it'll just allow us to do some of these things a little quicker and then maybe add to those building and equipment funds to replace apparatus. So. Any questions online?
Any questions from anyone online? None so far. Previous page.
Okay, so what are we at here?
We're reviewing what we're going to discuss.
There's not any public online.
Yes.
Just say call for a motion.
No. Okay,
you mean, I move that we approve the budget.
Louder.
I move that we approve the budget as presented and property taxes at the district's permanent tax
rate of $1.118 per thousand assessed value, and levy rate of 88 cents per thousand assessed value.
I said that.
All in favor?
Hold on a second. We're still waiting for the people online. We've asked for all in favor. A motion and a second have been made to accept the budget.
I bet you've been eating chalk.
Aye.
Tammy's aye.
Cody's aye.
Aye.
Cody and Carol are ayes. Thank you.
Any opposed?
Silence. Thank you, everyone online. Text me or call me if you need any questions. Don't forget, I'm leaving at 3:30 in the morning. Have a good class. Motion's been made. Second to adjourn. It is 7:34. 20 years.